And joining us right now is a legend in television. He is the star of The Virginian. And we're going to talk a little bit about the series because it was a huge series. It's celebrating its 50th anniversary. It went on the air in September. Actually, the exact date was September 19th, 1962. And it lasted until September 8th, 1971. The star of the program, the man who was the Virginian himself, was James Drury, and he joins us right now on PNP Network. How are you?
I'm just fine. I'm delighted to be vertical after 50 years of that of the show being on the air. It's just a magnificent thing to be for all of us to be still be alive 50 years later. There's about six of us that are still vertical, and we're in the cast. We'll be at the Gene Autry Museum on the 22nd of this month, celebrating the 50th anniversary.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that are going to happen. And in fact, one of the things which is really cool is the network INSP, which is on cable and also on satellite dishes. September 22nd, we'll be having a marathon of The Virginian from 1 p.m. to 2 a.m. That'll be a lot of fun. I assume you guys will be watching that on TV there, wherever you are.
Yeah, absolutely. If I can get to a television, I'll be watching it. And then they're going to play it 6 hours every Saturday, four shows every Saturday, and for a 90-minute show.
Exactly, yeah. I was going to mention that. It was the first 90-minute show on television.
Our first 90-minute show with continuing characters, as we say.
Yeah.
Before that, they'd all been anthologies like Playhouse 90 and Hallmark Hall of Fame and all that.
And the other good news is that The Virginian's also on DVD, so people can buy it and watch it at home.
That's right. A wonderful outfit called Timeless Media in Eugene, Oregon, brought it out, and they've got them all out except season 7 and 8, and they'll be out in a couple of months here. And then we'll have the complete set, all 9 seasons. And that's quite a body of work and quite a bunch of shows that certainly illustrate some very fine westerns. We were very lucky because of the 90-minute format. Our writers could write big, important, juicy guest star roles for all of our guest stars. And the men and women from Hollywood just came in droves to play those parts because of the parts. They were good parts. They were involving and meaty, and the kind of roles that actors really want to play. So they came, and I'd get up every morning and know that I was going down a hill and working with some of the finest people that had ever assumed the name of actor. And we had George C. Scott and Betty Davis and Joan Crawford and Robert Redford when he was starting out, and God, just a whole slew of people. Actually, Harrison Ford was in the show at one time.
I actually remember David Hartman in 68 and Lee Majors in 1970.
Yeah, well, they were in the show as well, but they were regulars. I'm talking about people who came in and did a show just for 1 week at a time.
You know?
And so we had a compendium of Hollywood stars came in and worked with us, and it was really wonderful to be working with people of that caliber. It brought our game up because we had to bring our game up to match their game, you know.
Well, that's true, and I think that one of the things that differentiates The Virginian from some of the other adult westerns at the time was probably the strong characterizations by the regular cast and the guest stars, and it really kind of resembled like a weekly movie. It was a complete story every week.
That's right, and it was 74 minutes and 30 seconds worth of film, which is exclusive of commercials, which is as long as many feature films. You know, 70 minutes is a lot of feature films are 70 minutes. This was 74. So I was obviously very proud to work in the show and very delighted with it. And I would have gone on for another 9 years if we could have. So I was I really enjoyed the work and never had a bad day down there. It was always a joy. I had some problems with the producers, but other than that, everything was fine.
Now, what kind of problems did you have with the producers?
Oh, well, I can't go into that because that's dirty laundry. But whatever pro- problems I had, I met them head on, and we solved them. I mean, I'm not, don't mean to imply that there was any trouble or anything. We just had minor problems from time to time that had to be taken care of, so.
Your character was known as the Virginian, never had a name. It was a really interesting character to play.
Well, that goes back to the original book published in 1902 by Owen Wister. He never gave the character a name. And it was a wonderful dramatic device because when you walked into a room, you were trailing clouds of glory. You know, people would say, there's the Virginian over there. Well, when you have that kind of mystery going with a character, it adds an aura of mystery to the character, and you don't have to do anything to achieve it. And I was very delighted with that all the way through the show. You were just the Virginian, and people didn't address him as the Virginian. They addressed him as Boss, or the Boss Man, or the Foreman, or Ramrod, but they never said the name Virginian to his face. They'd say it behind his back, you know. So it was a very interesting dramatic device. We kept that, and people ask about that to this day all the time, and it's still a great point of mystery, you know, point of mystery in the character.
Talking about the people asking questions, we had someone who wrote in on email who wanted to know about the original pilot of the series. They said that your character was completely different in the original pilot.
Well, the original pilot was made for another company. We made a half-hour version of the Virginian that I was fortunate enough to play the Virginian in, half-hour black and white for Screen Gems, which is Columbia Pictures, and House Pictures. We made that and then never sold it to the network. And then 3 years later, I signed a contract with Universal. I imagine they had the Virginian in mind, but I had no idea. At any rate, about 2 months later, they said, come in and why don't you come in for the Virginian? And I went to this dish, and they said, you're too fat. Go on back and lose some more weight. So I went and lost some weight and came back. And they said, you're still too fat. Go on some more weight. So I lost 30 pounds in 30 days.
Wow.
And I made the weight because they informed us on the Friday before the Monday morning that we started to shoot that we had the roles. So that was and that went for Doug McClure too. So he didn't find out until that night. So we had to hit the ground running, as they say, and we did. And we the characters developed, of course, as we went along. And Doug and I had a wonderful rapport from the very beginning, and we just got closer and closer as the series went on, and got so we could practically read each other's minds, which translated to the screen. You could see that relationship very easily just looking at it. So the two of us had a wonderful run, and we went all the way through it from the beginning to the end. I wonder why you would mention David Hartman and Lee Majors. Lee Majors came in the last year and did about three shows, or four maybe. And David Hartman did a few shows at the beginning. But did they stand out to you or something?
I guess it was because of my age that maybe I was, you know, 14, 15 years old then, so I remember watching it at that time. You know, I didn't watch it when it first went on because I wasn't old enough.
Oh, I see.
You know?
Well, you probably watched Lee Majors when he was playing the Million Dollar Man.
I certainly did. And David Hartman when he did Good Morning America too.
That was after. That was way after.
Yeah. But you know, the thing that the emailer was trying to say, and I thought it was really fascinating, and I wanted to get your take on it. I guess in that original pilot that you did for the other company, that your character, the Virginian, was wearing shiny hunting boots and skin-tight pants and lace cuffs, and had a tiny pistol. That's what I was trying to talk about.
Yeah, I see. Well, that was just the producer's concept at that time with the half-hour version. They wanted him to be a fancy Virginia gentleman, you know, with the as they call them, hunting boots, where that's the kind of boot you wear when you go fox hunting, you know, with the tan top and then the black bottoms. And we kept him in that Virginia character format with a frilly shirt and a little tiny gun. I don't know where they came up with a little tiny gun. That was never going to fly, but that was what he wore, and it was just an approach to the Virginian, and he could have gone that way, but I didn't feel that was proper. This guy was a working cowboy. He was not going to be wearing a Philly shirt out on the plains. You know, he's going to be wearing something to keep him warm. So, anyway, that's what how we wound up with the upholstery material for the long-running 90-minute version. And that was upholstery material, by the way, that maroon corduroy. And I helped pick it out, and I thought it was good-looking, and it did look good. But, boy, was it hot in the hot summertime when we had to wear it out in the 130-degree heat.
Oof.
So, and we went, you know, as you know, we went on locations all over Southern California and lots of times to the Mojave Desert, and that gets to be a furnace out there. So sometimes your costume choices don't really translate into action.
Yeah, corduroys in 130-degree heat don't really mix well.
Well, corduroy with a leather vest over the top of it, you know, that was a help, big help, too. But, you know, when you're working, none of that stuff makes any difference. You just go forward and go for it. No.
Well, someone else asked an email here that was sent in and wants to know if you actually took lessons on shooting before the show.
Well, I had grown up with a gun in my hand. My grandfather had me shooting Winchester when I was 6 years old. So I, of course, it docked me on my butt the first time I fired it. But then he showed me how to brace myself. And after that, I could hit things with it. And I've been around guns and horses and cattle all my life. I was raised on a ranch in Oregon. A couple of ranches up there, and as a young boy, and got all my woodcraft and skills of that kind from my grandfather. So I'm eternally grateful to him, and I worked on my when I got to Hollywood and started in pictures in 1954 at MGM. You know, there were all kinds of westerns being made, so everybody practiced their fast draw and so forth, and I got the principles for that from Andy Anderson and others, and worked on it quite a bit, and got so I was fast enough to never lose a gunfight. Of course, I had the screenwriters on my side, you know. It's pretty hard for the Virginians to lose, but anyway, I got fast enough for practical purposes, and that was all I really cared about.
Let me ask you a question in terms of television at that time, for folks who were listening and may not have even been around when the thing started in 1962 on September 19th. What was it like for you personally being on TV? Did life change after you were on for a while?
Well, it changed a great deal in the sense that, you know, you were very recognizable. People would recognize you in the street, and all the publicity you get. Everybody trying to interview you and working with you and all that. And at the beginning of the show, I didn't want anything to do with publicity. In fact, I just wouldn't sit still for an interview, and I wouldn't talk to anybody, and I wouldn't cooperate, and I wouldn't do anything about it. I mean, I just, as far as I was concerned, the press was the enemy. And I came around to a better point of view. Obviously, I'm talking to you this morning, but that was my attitude. And my dad was a professor of marketing and advertising at NYU. He coined the phrase in some interview he gave. He said, "My son Jimmy is the Garbo of the sagebrush. He doesn't want to talk to anybody, he doesn't want to see anybody." And he was aghast at that. He thought that was terrible, that I should have cooperated with everybody. And probably he was right. I'm sure he was right. I made a lot of enemies.
Yeah, I would assume that back then, no one would have ever conceived of cable TV and videotapes and DVDs and stuff like that. So I assume that you're not getting anything from this Virginian DVD?
No. But I gained a great deal because when the DVDs came out and then the show was on the air on Encore and now on coming out on INSP, people all over the country call in and want me to come and see them. So my personal appearances are just legion. I just do one right after another.
Yeah,
I've been doing that for the last all my life. But here in the last few years, with those two things coming out, it's been amazing how many places I've traveled. I've gone last year. I did about 40,000 miles in the car on in one summer. So that'll give you an idea of how many places I went.
Wow.
And I quit flying in 98 because I got sick of the airports and the Homeland Security. I understand the reason for it. I just don't want to take my boots off for anybody. So I get in the car and go down the road. And I get there just almost as fast. And I get to see the country. And my wife likes to travel. So we get in the car and we go.
One of the events that we should tell you about, folks, especially if you live down south, October 6th, is the official Georgia Day of the Cowboy with the Rock Ranch in The Rock, Georgia. James will be there to meet and greet and sign autographs and have photos taken, and information's at www.therockranch.com for that particular one.
Absolutely.
Do you have your own website that people can check and see what's going on there?
Yes, I do. I sure do. It's thevirginian.net. And we have all the schedule and everything on there, and pictures for sale and DVDs for sale, autographs and all of that.
So there you go.
That's run by Karen Lindsay, my assistant in London, Ohio. And,
so now, wait, you were mentioning that some of the other cast members are going to be with you. Who are you still in touch with that you're going to be going to see?
Well, Gary Clark and Randy Boone and Roberta Shore. Diane Roeder and Sarah Lane will be there as well, along with L.Q. Jones and Clu Gulager. Clu Gulager never goes out to these autograph signings and get-togethers, but he's agreed to come to the Gene Autry Museum, so I'm looking forward to seeing him. I haven't seen him in years, and one of my favorite people, so we'll sure enjoy having him there, and I know the fans will because there have been a big clamor. Everywhere I go, people say, "Where's Clu? What's Clu doing? Where is he?" And I say, "Well, I can't get him to come out for these things, but he's coming to this one." So I'm real happy about that.
So
real
folks out there who are Virginian fans, you'll recognize Clu as the gentleman who played Emmett Riker on the show.
That's exactly right, and he's very, very well-known and recognizable. He said to me, "Nobody knows who I am." Well, everybody in the world knows who he is, you know, so he'll be very... He'll have a very good day there at the Autry Museum. He'll be very successful. I know he will.
Did you ever see the Virginian, the movie that starred Gary Cooper and Walter Huston?
I did. I certainly did. And then I also saw the one starring Joel McRae.
Yeah. Those didn't influence you at all in your portrayal, did they?
No. I saw the movies long before I ever thought I was going to play the Virginian. You know, I saw them in... way before that, and I took my take on the Virginian. You like any actor, you have to take your character from the lines that are given you. When you read the script, you build your character for that show on what the character says and what other people say about him and to him. And you have to take everything you do out of the lines of the show. At least I do. And that's how the character was built. We had some great writers.
I guess they did, because they kept it going every week, make it just as interesting as the week before.
So. It was amazing how they did that. And they, as I say, again, they did it with great guest stars. You know, they bring in great guest stars, and we got to interact and interact with them, and it created a great... a high standard of work, let's put it that way.
One of the emailers actually stumped me because I had forgot about that, but he had written that during the last year of the show, it had a different title.
Yes, it did.
And it was called The Men from Shiloh.
Right. That's when Lee Majors came in.
What was that?
That was when Lee Majors came in. Majors and Stuart Granger.
Right.
And Doug and I and Lou Majors and Stuart Granger were the four stars of that show. And it was an attempt to freshen the show and bring new life and color into it. And to some extent it was successful, but people didn't know what the Men from Shiloh was. They were looking for the Virginian. They couldn't find it, so they tuned to something else. And we went off the air.
Yeah, it's a shame because actually it was a pretty good show, and they had moved the historical period up a few years.
Yeah, well, that was an attempt at that time to bring new life to the show. Although we were always in the top 20, and remained in the top 20 even through that show, but it wasn't quite good enough for what they wanted to do. So I think NBC wanted the time back. They'd had that time slot. for 8 years, and they wanted to put something else in there. And they did put other things in there, of course, and I don't think anything was ever as successful as our show, but that's neither here nor there. It's water under the bridge.
It was on from Wednesdays at 7:30 to 9 o'clock for all those years.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's Central Time, anyway. I don't know what it was on in the Eastern Seaboard or in the West, but it was on, you know, it was on 7:30 in California, so I don't know when it was on otherwise.
It was actually on 7:30 to 9 here in the East, too. Yeah, they just, I guess what they did is they spread the thing around. It must have tapes.
I guess they did.
Yeah, it wasn't the same as now where they do things at different time slots. Let me ask you a question. After the show went off, were there any talks at all about doing reunion movies and things like that?
No, never came up. And I, it's amazing. It would be the kind of thing that you'd think they'd want to do, but they didn't. No one ever proposed that to me, anyway, and I don't think they want to do it without me, so I'm sure sooner or later someone else will do the Virginia.
Well, they, I'm
Bill,
sure that, yeah.
Bill Pullman, you know, has done a more recent version of it in a motion picture format. It was a movie for television, but he played the Virginian in the traditional way and followed the book very closely and did a fine job. And I had a tiny cameo in that movie and enjoyed it very much. But someone else will come up with try to do the television show of the Virginian, but I doubt seriously if they'll do a 90-minute version. That's just too scary and too impossible logistically. It just can't be done, but we did it anyway.
Yeah, well, now it's too expensive and it requires too many writers because it's a long time to fill up.
Well, I don't know if there's any writers left who could do that.
It would take a huge team of writers to do something like that. It wouldn't take a few people like they did back then.
That's exactly right, and we had a huge team. We probably had 40 writers working on the show at all times.
Wow.
Coming up with concepts, you know, not all of them were successful, but all of them were trying to write for the Virginian, and of course everyone, the ones that got accepted, got developed. So. Oh.
Well, James Drury, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And folks out there, go to thevirginian.net for information. There's a photo gallery, an appearance schedule, and you can buy some autographed merchandise from James as well. And don't forget to tune in The Virginian September 22nd on INSP Network. It's a marathon from 1 p.m. to 2 a.m. And make sure you go visit him if you're down the south at the Rock Ranch October 6th. At therockranch.com. There's all kinds of information on his website. We'll let you know where he's going to be. Maybe it'll be near you. Thanks so much for coming on, James.
Well, my pleasure, and thank you for having me, and I hope to talk to you again.
I'd love to talk to you again. It's a pleasure.
Okay.
Take care.
Be careful.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.